Today on Secular, a shocking CNN poll. How much trouble does it spell for Biden and his fellow Democrats?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secular. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secular.
Hey, welcome to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. A shocking new CNN poll. Some shocking new language from the Department of Homeland Security on what they define as terrorism and its speech. We're going to get into that in the second half hour of the broadcast. But this approval poll, or disapproval poll is better to say, on Joe Biden. And it is not coming from a conservative pollster. This is coming straight out of CNN and their work that they do. And the CNN poll, the headline is, most Biden detractors, which is the majority of people, say he's done nothing they like since becoming president. Let's break that down a little. So only 41% of people approved of the way Joe Biden is handling his job. Think about this. 58% disapproved. So it wasn't like there were a lot of people that had no opinion. Only 41% approved. 58% disapproved. Just 36% of independents. 9% of Republicans. I don't even know who those Republicans are. And his approval among Democrats has dropped to 83%. It was at 94% last summer, so he's even dropping amongst party-line Democrats. Here's my favorite part. With those who disapproved of Biden's overall performance, remember, that is the majority of people they talked to, 58%, only 56% had nothing positive to say at all, Logan. Yeah, they could not say
one thing.
Like, I like that Joe Biden got a puppy. I like that Joe Biden... Nothing about it. Nothing positive. They could not come. And honestly, I don't know what I would say if I was on the spot right there. Is there anything positive?
Even as a Democrat, even as someone who would be supportive of these kind of, you know, this era of Joe Biden, I know tons of Democrats are running that world pretty aggressively when it comes to media and what we do. No one's happy. No one is happy. So even the far left isn't happy. The moderate Democrats certainly are not happy. And now obviously you have the rest of the conservative world, of course, not happy. But I don't know anyone who's walking around singing the praises of President Biden. And you know that it's somewhat, you laugh about it, you joke about it. That's certainly a bad thing when you can't have anyone rallying around the U.S. president. This is beyond party lines, divisional shifts that happen within the country. This is just for specifically, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to flip it around, when they say 56% have had nothing positive to say of the people who disapproved, that means only 2%, because remember, 58% disapprove. Only 2% of that group could come up with anything they actually supported. And this, to me, I want to go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, we usually see these kind of numbers when it comes to Congress. People say, you know, it's a do-nothing Congress. We kind of see that both sides, depending on who's in charge of Congress. When it comes to the President of the United States, not having a single positive thing to say is pretty remarkable, that a majority of people can't come up with one thing.
Yeah, one idea.
And yeah, I don't have one.
Jordan, these are numbers you might see for the entire Congress. You would never see these numbers for that person's congressman, though. When you apply this to a person, you would never see these numbers upside down. And I agree with you about the top line takeaway from this poll. But, Jordan, two others I'd point out just very quickly. There's terrific slippage inside his own party, 9% inside his own party. That might sound like a small number. Inside your own party, Jordan, that's a very big number. And the other thing is intensity here. There are 41% who strongly disapprove, while there's only 15 who strongly approve. That is very, very upside down on intensity, Jordan.
Yeah, and you see things now like all of a sudden the COVID protocols are being changed, things are being shifted around. Oh. It is all to do with these kind of
issues. Well, I'd ask you this right now. Do you think the reason why Democrat governors are taking mask mandates away is just purely because of politics? Because, again, that they didn't wait for the CDC. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Could you come up with one thing? If you got that phone call poll, you said you would think it was a good thing Joe Biden did as president in his first year. And he still hasn't given the State of the Union until next month. 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Secular.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Our producer Will had one good thing. 1-800-684-3110. I mean, can you name one thing? Because the people in the poll, and I understand, you get this poll question, and you're put on the spot, you answer the question. The majority of Americans who got the poll, this is a CNN poll, 58% said they do not support the way Joe Biden is handling his job. So 58% disapproval. Of that 58%, 56%, so the majority of that group, couldn't name a single thing. Not one thing that they thought he did, which was positive. But our producer Will said, you know, there's one positive. I guess you would say that way. And it wasn't really him, but he allowed our military to take out the new ISIS leader. Now that's really up to the military. And even that narrative got botched. And we started having this whole discussion about, did the guy blow himself up? Yeah. Did we kill the kids? And it wasn't like, it wasn't put together well in the follow-up. And that's really where you get the support. When you explain it to the American people, what you just did, you took out the head of this terror group. And then instead of saying rah, rah, everybody said, well, last time you did this kind of strike in Afghanistan, you killed a whole family and it was an aid worker. Yeah. So you got to tell, you got to prove us, how do you know who this is the guy? And they're starting to put more of that out, but yeah. It's weeks later now.
Yeah, because it's the fallout from the last year.
He only had one leg and they were able to track him that way, stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's the fallout. I didn't deal with that. The fallout from in August. You know, the horrible withdrawal, and then obviously, like you said, the drone strike that they celebrated, and then quickly were like, we made a few mistakes here. I think people don't forget those things. The press doesn't forget, and the press is pushing back because of those moments.
And this is the problem, though. Joe Biden, if you're a Democrat, you know, other than some conservative media outlets, so maybe, you know, like shows like ours, Fox News, okay, but then everybody else, the newspapers, CNNs, the MSNBCs, the mainstream networks, the NBC, CBS, ABC, they have to be your friends to be a successful Democrat. You need them pushing your narrative because you've got this pushback against your narrative. So calling them names may not be the best idea for NBC's main nightly news host, who I think is seen by Americans as a pretty fair guy, Lester Holt. Take a listen to Bite One.
I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit, and I understand that's your job.
What?
a pretty direct question.
A direct and fair question, because does temporary mean up until this summer? So a full year? Because we're getting, you know, closer and closer to a year of this rising inflation. It wasn't a nasty question either. You listen to Lester Holt. that's something the president should be prepped on. It's the top issue that Americans are concerned about economically is inflation. But, you know, Andy, name-calling. When you start name-calling as a Democrat, it's one thing for Donald Trump to get up there. It's called the dossier fake news. Guess what? It was. But it's another to call Lester Holt a wise guy, and that's your response to his question.
That's a pretty pitiful thing to say about somebody who, as you said, is highly respected in the news, in the mainline news media, who's a moderate, who's a reasonable person, and who posed a reasonable question about this transitional inflation. What does that make him into a wise guy? Why make a smart-alecky remark? Or do we forget what he called Peter Doocy? Or what he told to one of the reporters who asked him a question and said, don't you know how to read? What do you do all the time? I mean, he's getting very short-tempered because nothing is happening, and he's being frustrated at every turn. Afghanistan, the Ukraine situation, 6,000 people going to be arrested every day at the border beginning this spring. Bob Menendez, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, saying this is really, what kind of an agreement do we have? Why don't we rip it up and tear it away? Tear it up and start all over again, or tell us what it is that you're negotiating in Vienna. I mean, his own people are defecting from him, and he's getting short-tempered with everybody, including those people who are his friends and who he should not be short-tempered with.
You know, you mentioned Peter Doocy. So, you know, he started out with the nasty name-calling with Fox News. But, you know, he could pick a fight with Fox News. That's different. If you're going to be a successful Democrat, you better have NBC on your side. At least on your policies. But when you start, they start, and they ask you a question about inflation, which is real, and you call the guy a wise guy, and it's Lester Holt, who every American who follows the news knows who he is as a nightly news person. But then, remember, it started kind of this unraveling with the media with Peter Doocy by 10.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
Let's move. Thank you. Thank you all.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of
a... I mean, here's the thing.
We know...
Both questions are on inflation.
I say, you know how to poke Joe Biden to get him to respond is to bring up inflation, which is the glaring problem that we're all seeing. I mean, I think that is the one situation that does go a little beyond politics because everyone is seeing the impact of it. So, of course, it's the one where he can't just deflect and say, well, you're just saying a Republican talking point. It's real. It's there. It exists. We're seeing it. Everyone's seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you voted for or how you vote. The gas prices are up. Food prices are up. All prices are up.
Yeah, one of our friends who's a chef and our producer just sent me this. He put $7 for a pound of butter now. And he said, this has got to stop when the hour minimum wage is the same as 1 pound of butter. Things are broken. You know, that's a crazy issue.
Yeah, let me go to the phones. Charlie in Florida online too. Hey, Charlie, welcome to Secular. If you want to talk to us, folks, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. And how's inflation impacting you? 1-800-684-3110. Hey, Charlie, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to comment on the CNN poll that you had mentioned.
Yep.
You know, for years we were told that President Trump was doing everything wrong.
Right.
And so the big tech and media have been lying to us. But this poll suggests that, and all Biden has really done is reversed everything that Trump did, and nobody likes it. And now their chickens are coming home to roost. I mean, you start with the border policies and how terrible those things have, the human trafficking and drugs have increased. You know, abortion funding, most people don't want that.
Nope.
The economy and all the bad decisions, not to mention CRT and the Afghan withdrawal. But the big tech and the media are lying to us. I mean, I don't know how we're going to reasonably and, you know, faithful to our country deal with these outlets that are so detrimental to what people are getting fed every day.
Listen, they're not going to be, I'm not saying they're going to be on our side, on the conservative side. But what they are showing is that they're getting a bit fed up. And Charlie, excellent points because, I mean, you walked right through it. Afghanistan, the border, and then on top of that, you've got the economic inflation issue. And COVID, mixed messaging that never has made sense. And you got Democrat governors now who are saying, lift the mask. Why? Why after all you've done? I mean, again, never explaining anything. I think, Dan, this is goes back to the whole issue. They didn't explain what they were going to do in Afghanistan. They still haven't explained to us exactly what they're going to do with Russia and Ukraine. And so all of this, it's you got to go to the American people first and explain your plans.
Well, the international issues, Jordan, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that even the issue that Will mentioned, the fact that they took out the ISIS leader, even that is ringing hollow, I think, Jordan, because it's set against a backdrop of foreign policy disasters. Look, I think Charlie's exactly correct on this, but I would say a lot of the things he mentioned, you know, maybe originally he didn't have support inside the Democrat base for some of those issues, but the issues we're talking about today, Jordan, are serious issues for his base. I mean, Logan said that inflation is the number one issue for Republicans and Democrats alike. Absolutely true. And I think probably second in that list is parental rights when it comes to curriculum and choice and school policy. And Jordan, he's upside down on both of those. And, you know, as I sit in Washington, D.C., the impact that I can't help thinking about is we're heading down the runway here for the midterms. And if you are in a purple district and you're a Democrat trying to hang on to your seat and you know midterms are historically tough anyway, what do you need? You desperately need some coattails from your president that you can ride to re-election. If I'm in a purple district and I'm a Democrat in the House or the Senate right now, Jordan, I look at this poll and I got to tell you, I'm panicked a little.
That's why I wanted to ask, because he keeps getting pushed on the inflation. And I think, listen, his poll numbers are upside down. That's a key reason why. International issues do affect Americans, I think Afghanistan especially. But it's the pocketbook ultimately. And I think that's why you get this massive disapproval number, Logan, 58%. It's why every time he gets asked about inflation, he calls the reporter, whether it's Lester Holt being a wise guy, Steve Ducey being something else, it's always a name calling.
Yeah, it's name calling when he gets pushed back on specifically inflation. And I think it's, you're seeing around the country, like, as you said, all the new changes, the mask mandates being removed, things happening like that, because I think even the states are saying, if they're not going to do something to help change this narrative, we have to, as you're heading into the 2022 midterms. It's just, what happens in politics? Sure, we had a surge and now things are starting to go down, but we had this exact thing happen last year. People went, you know, got off their guard. It all came right back. Why do they think this would be different this time around?
No explanation. That's no explanation. Problem.
I mean, the Oscars yesterday, we talked about Hollywood here, but the Oscars announced no vaccine mandate and likely the mask mandate will be gone.
No card. So, you don't have to show your card.
No test. You have to test.
By the way, you know, in Washington, D.C., you still got to show your card just to go eat. I mean, so like, again, but in other states, it's starting to change.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's bad that it's changing. It's more you have to really look at what the reasoning behind it is.
I think they're just fed up with the federal government not explaining anything. And the explanations, then, if they do try, make no sense. Again, we asked you that question, how is inflation impacting you? We'll start taking those calls. We come right back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
By the way, folks, second half hour, we're going to be joined by Rick Rennell, and there is a new summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. It's a bulletin put out by the Department of Homeland Security. And I'm just going to tease a little bit of this out because it ties into all of this. This is quoting directly from it. It's pretty scary. We're actually have our legal team already looking at this and analyzing this because it seems like a violation of free speech and free thought. Quote, this is from Department of Homeland Security. Key factors contributing to the current heightened threat environment include the proliferation of false or misleading narratives, which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. President Biden has a 58% disapproval rating.
Disapproval rating.
Disapproval.
You don't really hear that usually. You usually hear approval rating.
Yeah.
This is a disapproval rating.
That means people have a question about the trust in U.S. government. That's okay. That's not terrorism. We're going to get into that further. But, I mean, you see how they're tying this together. Don't ask me about inflation. You wise guy. And that's the answer. Because that's undermining the U.S. government, right? Because if you're undermining the head of the U.S. government, the president, I mean, you're making politics terrorism. Just choosing a side, picking a side that you support more. 1-800-684-3110. But, Harry, so much of this focus, we all know there's lots of issues we care about. But bottom line, Americans, when you see this massive disapproval at almost 60%, that's outside of just partisan politics. It's the pocketbook. It is inflation. It is these economic issues and uncertainty still with COVID about when is life going to get back to normal. But inflation having a massive impact on every American.
I think that's precisely correct. So inflation is exploding. Keep in mind that the current inflation rate is the highest inflation rate that the United States has experienced in the last 40 years. Gas prices are up 60%. And many of these problems are precisely due to one thing and one thing only, the Biden administration's miscalculation. Keep in mind that the Biden administration decided to focus on green energy. It decided to give up U.S. energy independence. It decided to crack down, for instance, on drillers and natural gas. Why? Because according to the Biden administration, you and I are going to have to live on natural sources, quote unquote, of energy. It turns out that fossil fuel is indeed a natural source of energy, but the Biden administration apparently doesn't understand that. But for average American people, their expenditures per month have gone up approximately $300 per month for food, clothing, and shelter. And yet, what is the Biden administration's response? Well, basically asking the Biden administration about it, turns out that he believes that the American people are simply being wise guys. And I think the American people, at the end of the day, they are going to resent that.
Yeah, I mean, Patricia on Facebook just said, I just joined. Can you give me the CNN poll numbers? Logan, you want to go through them for just that? I know people are always joining, so what we're talking about.
You probably heard the big number, which was the disapproval rating, which is 58%. So let's just walk you through that. It says, this is from CNN poll. Most Biden detractors say he's done nothing they like since becoming president. So nothing they like, not one positive they can think of. And honestly, it is kind of hard to really think about that. I could say for most presidents, even the ones you disagreed with, Obama, whoever, you can maybe find one thing where like, well, they took out Osama bin Laden. Like there are things that you can go and go, well, that was pretty good. That was a good thing. Not one thing. Not even only the supporters can't come up. 58% of them can't come up. Not even supporters, period. Can't come up with one thing. Just 36% of independents, 9% of Republicans approved. And although his approval ratings still are 83% among Democrats, that was down from 94% late last summer. So we are seeing a massive turn. They said that those who generally approved of Biden, a smaller 26%, couldn't find anything negative to say. So again, flip that number. That's kind of messes with your head. All these numbers are kind of backwards. 26% said they couldn't find anything negative to say, which means a mass majority couldn't find anything positive to say. You got to put certain stock in these poll numbers. We know that polls aren't always the most accurate, but when we are seeing across the board, from CNN to Fox to MSNBC to all these different polls coming out, they all are trending one way, and it's catastrophic. And that's what I believe even some of the MSNBC and the NBC News people were saying. If you have these kind of poll numbers now, if this is what it is in November, you will see a massive shift.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Democrats, leading Democrats like Dick Durbin, they understand the problem. Take a listen, Bite 8.
There's a new CNN poll today with not great news for President Biden and the Democrats in terms of job approval. Strikingly, 56% of respondents in our poll who disapprove of Biden's job say has made zero moves that they approve of. Zero. Not on coronavirus, not on the economy, not even on getting a cat. Do you think President Biden is doing everything he can to reach these voters?
Listen, Jake, we're in the doldrums at this point, and I think it really all relates back to that inflation situation together with the pandemic.
So he understands it, Than. I mean, Senate Democrats understand the problem, pandemic, inflation.
We're in the doldrums now, Jordan. I mean, how's that for inspiring confidence? That's not a backbencher either. That's a member of the leadership of the Senate of his party, Jordan. I would say two things to this as well. I mean, look, I think this is honestly probably one of the worst non-Nixon presidential polls I've ever seen. I really do think that's the truth, Jordan. And there is maybe a way out of it, but the way out of it is for President Biden to tell people what he's going to do about that issue, about inflation. I mean, Jordan, he should be expecting the question, he should be wanting the question, and he should be telling people, I'm the guy to fix it, here's how I'm going to fix it, but yet he continually gets surprised by the question.
Yeah, I mean, Logan, one of the parts about it I think was interesting, I heard some others say, well, there was one point where Donald Trump was lower in his first year because he's pushing people in his tone. But the difference was he had a core base of support. He had supporters and he had accomplishments.
Yeah.
And so when you added those two, some people might not lie. His poll numbers may have been upside down, but he had a base of support and he had accomplishments, and that's the problem with Biden. He doesn't really have a natural base support. The Democrat Party is more liberal than him, and the accomplishments people couldn't come up with.
Well, even like I said, my friends who are Democrats who were very openly anti-Trump are not sitting here singing the praises of Joe Biden. If anything, they're at least casually, confidentially saying this is a disaster. What happened here? Why was this the best case scenario? And they're all looking to 2024 as who else can we run?
Right. I mean, thinking about that.
That's the story. That's a headline. People are every day.
Hillary Clinton back in the news yet again.
Michelle Obama. These names are coming out there because even their own supporters know this likely cannot be who we're running. And he's the current president. And that does not happen very much in American politics.
Coming up in the next half hour, they want to silence you. We know that they want to scare you from going to school board meetings. Now they want to silence you from criticizing the U.S. government. They want to make that terrorism. That's their new definition from the Department of Homeland Security. What do you think about that? 1-800-684-3110. Love to get your thoughts. We're going to be joined by Rick Rennell as well. That's 1-800-684-3110. Get your calls in now so we can start getting to them. They literally want to define your speech in opposition to the U.S. government, but you have a right to have opposition to the government leaders, as terrorism. Terrorism. 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to read it for you. I mean, their actual bulletin they put out. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. Shift the topics a little bit here. But it all goes together because remember, when the people got that CNN poll number and 58% disapproved of President Biden, disapproved, that means they're disapproving of our commander-in-chief, of our the leader of the U.S. government. But yet, the Department of Homeland Security has put out a new bulletin. It's got kind of messy in the news, but people haven't really actually focused in on the facts within it. It says this: the United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories, which, by the way, folks, conspiracy theories should not be illegal, nor should they be terrorism in the United States of America. You want to believe theories, and someone calls your theory that you believe a conspiracy theory, you have a right to believe that. Violent action is different based off those things. You know, yelling fire in the crowded theater, that's the kind of speech that's not protected, you know, but there's no fire and causing a stampede. But when you get into these cases of actual speech, the courts are very weary. And we're looking at this right now, but I mean, this is the beginning. It says these conspiracy theories are filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories, but it goes further. And other forms of, and I love, this is so government, Logan, mis, dis, and malinformation. MDM, they've called it now. They've got an acronym.
Mis, what was it?
Mis, dis, and mal. I mean, and remember, just this week, the crack pipes, they said that was a false report. And they said it was a false report because you didn't include the other drug paraphernalia that was included in the $30 million. You'd include the syringes.
It wasn't just crack pipes.
Right. And they came out with that as false. That would have then met this definition of terrorist language because it would have been misinformation that you were sharing and that's introduced or amplified by both foreign and domestic threat. Domestic means you, Americans. This is the United States of America. I mean, Harry, this attack on speech, this idea that you can't speak your mind, trying to silence that opposition by speech to the current U.S. government leaders is now viewed by our government as supporting or even potentially standing alone as its own act of terrorism.
I think that's precisely correct. So what the Biden administration has now done is that they have sought to criminalize criticism by the American people. And they like to come up with these lovely phrases, conspiracy theories, misleading narratives. The real question at the end of the day, of course, is what constitutes a misleading narrative? And the second question is who decides? But at the end of the day, the American people are free, pursuant to the First Amendment of the Constitution, to believe in as many misleading narratives as they wish. That is a constitutional prerogative, and the Biden administration lacks authority within the Constitution to take that away from the American people. Keep in mind, this is the same Biden administration that went after parents at school board meetings who oppose critical race theory and sexual assaults in schools. And so the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, perhaps protecting his son-in-law's wealth, decided to basically label parents as domestic terrorists. This is outrageous.
You know, and again, we're going to get into this with Rick Rinnell, who led, again, was the acting director of national intelligence. And, you know, this idea that, again, critical speech of the U.S. government is terrorism, or because you speak out against the current U.S. government and its leaders, that's where the focus is, the leaders, then suddenly you're responsible for the nut job who does something because of your speech. You know, that's not America. That's China. This is going that route. Rick Rinnell will be joining us when we get back. We'll take your phone calls too. Go to aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo, and as we talked about the poll numbers, and now this new DHS terrorism threat to the U.S. Homeland U.S. Homeland Bulletin, and it's really point one that we are focusing it on. And Rick Rendell is joining us, the former acting director of National Intelligence, our senior advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. Rick, I want to just read it for you because this is the part that we're looking at even legally at the ACLJ, because they talk about the convergence of following factors has increased the volatility, unpredictability, and complexity of the threat environment here in the United States. Point number one, the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which sow discord or undermine public trust in the U.S. government institutions. I mean, Rick, you do a lot of media every day. You're critical of the Biden administration. We're going to talk about Iran in a minute. We're critical of their position. Under that definition, are you undermining the U.S. government institutions by questioning their roles, and now that is treated as potentially an act of terrorism?
Look, I have to be blunt. This is what fascist governments do. They try to shut down dissent. They try to take away the opposition's voice. They try to silence their critics. And this is exactly what's happening. They're trying to label any opposition, any critic, any criticism as a terrorist act. Now, look, I have to tell you that we've spent the last decade, 15 years, having the media focus on government talk and policies that politicize intelligence. This is politicizing intelligence. Avril Haines, the director of National Intelligence, should have never allowed this to come forward, because what this is now doing is having a chilling effect on anyone who wants to speak out against the United States government. It's a scary moment. And as someone who worked at the State Department for over a decade, this is the exact type of moves that the State Department usually calls out in other countries when other governments do this.
Yeah, because they've defined it really as mis, dis, and malinformation. They got a new government acronym, MDM. But, you know, this idea, again, and they compare foreign and domestic threat actors for speech. What they don't define is that this is not like speech that says truly just undermining the U.S. government. But you can imagine how, in this definition, how generally this is written, that by being critical of the commander-in-chief of that U.S. government or questioning their decisions, and by the way, in the United States, you have the right to believe in theories that maybe aren't true, and maybe they want to call conspiracy theories. But putting that aside, the way the definition is written is not just for people who are trying to like take down the U.S. government, but it's just questioning the U.S. government and its leaders.
Look, you protect speech that you don't like. And that's one of the basic principles of government. We have a Democratic Party that we've watched silence critics. I mean, look at conservatives not being able to go on college campuses because they get shouted down and called hate speech. When I was a fellow at Carnegie Mellon, there were a whole crowd of liberal teachers, progressive teachers and students who said that they couldn't be in my presence because I was a threat to the truth. Now, this is a really unbelievable moment, because I also have to say, Jordan, it is atrocious to see the way our media is handling this in Washington, D.C. They are the group of people that are for tolerance and diversity. At least they've been in the past. People who allow dissent and don't shout down dissent. But look what's happening. The government, the ruling party, and the media are all working together to silence critics.
And this happens all the time. And it seems like there always is a distraction. You saw Marjorie Taylor Greene messed up a word, and all of a sudden, that's the story. The story isn't what she was reporting on, which is a real issue. It was, this silly, almost comedic version of what the actual news is. And Rick, when you talk about going to college campuses, you're not welcome there. You go to Hollywood, not welcome there. There is part of you where you have to fight back. You have to figure out ways to still make waves in these institutional issues, because if not, then you're just accepting the fact that your fate has been sealed. And how do we do that? I think that's part of the organization. Part of what we do here is to actually fight back against things, not just take it, make you angry about it, and leave it at that. We do have to come up with solutions.
Well, I love what Jordan was just saying before about how we are looking at this language from DHS, the directive that they sent out. And by the way, I'll tell you, I got sent this directive immediately by a whole bunch of people who are career officials inside the administration, inside working for the U.S. government, and they were horrified. They knew it immediately. They could see this chilling effect. So I'm glad that we're going to take a look at it. People should support the ACLJ so that we can do this type of work. We can hire attorneys and push back and make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, because the way it works, you know, usually with the courts, is you'd say, does this government policy lead to silencing of speech in America? And if it does, it should be unconstitutional. We have to look at all the kind of how this all works together to see if it's actionable that way in court. Because, again, it's one thing to put out a bulletin. It's another to say, do they have an actual action item connected to it? But I think, Rick, if you were one of those authoritarian governments, you'd copy and paste this language into your own terrorism units.
That is what is really troubling to me as someone who watches international affairs very closely, is the message that the Biden administration just sent to dictatorships and others around the world is that you can push the limit of silencing speech, call it dis or misinformation, silence your critics, or at least have a chilling effect on them.
I wanted to ask you, Rick, too. I want to pivot a little bit to Iran, because I didn't have a chance to talk to you about it yet this week. So there was a briefing to U.S. senators by Rob Malley, who is the lead negotiator for the U.S. trying to get back into the Iran deal. And we had a lot of senators, they left that. They were horrified. They said it was downright scary. Democrat senators, Bob Menendez, questioning, why are we even talking anymore about trying to get into a nuclear deal? But there were more. And what the report was is that Iran, this is from the U.S. government telling the U.S. senators, is 2 months or less away from having enough enriched uranium to have a bomb. We don't know how long they are away from having an actual, some reports said a year or less, to a missile that can deliver that bomb. But again, the idea that Democrats walked out of that too, just shaking their head, saying, "What is your plan here?" Because it doesn't seem like, even if they let you back into the deal, that this is that we can stop this anymore unless we take some other significant actions.
We need to thank Senator Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat, for speaking out, because he was very forceful and he was very concerned. And I will say that Senator Menendez has done a good job of watching Iran and being someone who sounds the alarm early within the Democratic Party. So we thank him for that. But the concern that I think we all have is that when you take the pressure off the international sanctions, you know, we in the Trump administration had done a good job of making Iran a pariah state. Other countries didn't want to work with them. They didn't want to trade with them. They recognized what they were doing. Now that we've taken that pressure off and the sanctions are clearly going to be lifted, and we've told the Europeans that we're not watching it so closely anymore. Now that that has happened, we see a belligerent and an aggressive Iranian regime. They are on the offense. They're trying to get more money. And my concern is that the Biden administration looks to consensus with the Europeans rather than what's best for America. They're willing to water down our policy to please the Europeans and have this phony unified position. The concern we should all have is that the Germans and the French and others in Europe do not share the same threat assessment that we do with Iran. And so we should not be saying we can have the exact same policy, because we view Iran very differently than they do.
No, it seems like the only way Iran would even pause some of this, if you're actually going to trust them, is what you said, Rick, which is the pallets of cash. Even sanctions relief, not enough for them. Their foreign minister came out and said, words great, sanction relief, okay, but no, we want something deliverable and hard. That's, we know they're talking about cash. Rick, as always, we appreciate your insight on both of these issues. Thanks for joining us. Rick Rudell is, again, our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security and former acting director of national intelligence. Think about what Rick said about this bulletin on Americans, that people were forwarding it to him. We're going to go to our team at the ACLJ when we come back from this break. We're also going to take your phone calls. The government calling your speech critical of the U.S. government, which, by the way, the person at the top of that U.S. government always the president, so critical speech then of the president, is an act of terrorism now in the United States? And how are they going to start enforcing that? We saw that what they wanted to do to school boards. The idea is that they put this out and you shut up. They scare you into silence. But our courts and our Constitution is very weary of any kind of silencing of speech. But that doesn't mean it's going to work on itself on its own. We might have to fight back here. We've got our legal team already doing that. We encourage you to support our work at ACLJ.org. But I really want to hear from you on this specific bulletin put out by the Department of Homeland Security calling speech critical and undermining the U.S. government as terrorism. Just because you don't like what Jen Psaki has to say, you don't like the withdrawal in Afghanistan, you're a terrorist? Be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work.
Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Bill's been holding on the line online, too, so I want to make sure to get to his call on that, and we're getting back to the discussion on your speech being terrorism. You know, they did not define it in a way where critical of the U.S. You know, I think that, again, you can look at things this way. There's a difference between Iran and speech like saying we want to see the destruction of the great Satan of the United States of America. That's out of politics. They don't care who the leader is. They want to see the destruction of the United States as an entity. Okay, that's one thing about inciting
calling
terrorism.
For war. You know,
it's another to question
or be critical.
Sow disinformation and be critical of your U.S. government. So I want to give you opportunity to speak on this. You have time, but you got to call now. 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. But let me go to Bill's call and text. He's been holding on inflation, which, listen, speaking up on this, he calls Lester Holt a wise guy, calls something I can't say on the air on our broadcast. Hey, Bill, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Enjoying the show. Listen, and I go back with you when I worked at the 700 Club in the mid-80s, so that'll give you an idea how far back. Yeah, Pat
That's
Robertson.
Great,
yeah, but anyway, the reason I'm calling that the thing, my school taxes did not go up. But everything else we knew day by day has just skyrocketed. Gasoline, we need that every day. We need food every day. And I went by one of the fast food restaurants, more than doubled on some individual items. And I'm saying we need that every single day. And I want to add what you was talking about now. I'm from Brooklyn. And somebody comes, hits me, and tries to make me a victim. I go a counteroffensive. And I don't stop. I keep on the offense. And that's what needs to be done. Instead of these people kind of cowering back and say, hey, to put them on the defensive, you counter-offend.
Yeah,
and then, like you guys are saying.
That's what we do at ACLJ. You know, that's what we are. We're fighters in court. And we fight for freedom of speech. And like Rick Grinnell just said, the idea is when we win for speech, it's not just the speech we like. We might have been defending a Christian speaker or a pro-life speaker, but it then is a win for all speakers. And that's the idea in America. But I want to go back to something, you know, Than, a point people have been making on this inflation issue, because it's not been temporary, as the president didn't want to answer, is that this is effectively a tax hike on every single American.
Oh, you bet it is, Jordan. And I mean, some on the left have said, well, the inflation is a wealthy person's worry. Jordan, it is the exact opposite. If you are well off, you can actually afford in your budget for some of these things to go up. You don't like it, it's not a good thing, but you can adapt to it. But Jordan, if every time you have to fill up your vehicle, if every time you have to go to the grocery store, you have a 50% increase or 100% increase, or, you know, Jordan, for me right now, I would tell you it's in vehicles. I mean, my truck's on its last legs. And I got to tell you, when I look at the price of either a new truck or a used truck, it makes me terrified that my truck's going to give out. So if you're an American that's going to need a new vehicle at some point in the near future, you're desperate, Jordan, that this will turn around in the near future.
Good luck getting a vehicle.
Yeah, right, I mean, now. My family has grown, right. And we have vehicles that right now are the right size, but then by the next year, and you know, I start looking, and usually, you know, if you were looking at like American companies like Suburbans, there'd be lots full of them. Full. I mean, you could pick which color, which. Right now, there's literally zero in some places. And then the used it might be an option of having like one, but it's more than a new. Yeah. I mean, because the price of surge. It's a perfect example where even if you want to purchase, and that hurts the economy too, even when you want to purchase, and I'll go to Harry on this, you want to spend money, and yet, You really can't. That also puts this economy in this kind of stagnant, weird position. Because even when you want to buy, like Thea's talking about, you're like, wait, never mind, I'm going to wait.
Absolutely. And if you wait, if you defer your expenditures, then this means that this could ultimately lead to the disemployment of individuals who, for instance, make the products that you prefer. But I think at the end of the day, the real issue, at least from my perspective, is that the Biden administration is populated by individuals I would call them progressive globalist elites who disdain the American people. And so the concerns of the American people to fill up their gas tank, the concerns of the American people to buy groceries, those are not the same concerns shared by progressive elites. They are looking to go to a fancy restaurant, and they may indeed be on an expense account. They may have a driver. And so all of the concerns that you and I may face, they do not necessarily share. And I think fundamentally that's the problem. And so it's high time for the Biden administration to start listening to the American people, Democrat and Republican and independent. But so far they seem to be locked in a vault of their own incompetence. And we see it in story after story, from Afghanistan to the border to inflation, you name it, COVID, they seem to basically disdain the American people and say, we have the answer, we have the solution, but in each and every case, it backfires.
Yeah, let's go to Bill in Montana online, too. Hey, Bill, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My comment is that the DHS policy went through, then 58% of Americans need to be silenced because they disagree with what's happening. So that means that polling would go away. Basically, we would lose our rights and probably end up in re-education camps if this type of policy went through.
You know what it does? It's like what Rick Grenell said. It encourages the countries who already have those camps, like China, to say, well, if the U.S. government puts a policy like this out, we can too. So don't criticize the CCP. Because that, you know, again, criticizing the CCP would be undermining China. So if the U.S. could do that, and by the way, Bill, this is it's not that they're waiting to put this in motion. And I was talking to our producer, Will. They have these threat tags already working. Whether they've actually moved against anybody on it yet in the DOJ, but that's not the goal is not ultimately prosecution. Like, we know what the goal is. The goal is to get you to not talk.
Yeah, silence you.
The goal don't is show to up silence at the meeting. People. Don't share it on don't share the show on Facebook.
Don't call into shows like this or comment or engage or make yourself an account where it's not really your name so people don't see you. I mean, that's what they really want
anonymous
you to do.
Speech.
They want you to not be out there publicly professing how you feel about current things in terms of the world. And that's just sadly not a place we need to be living in America.
No. I mean, Andy, just final thought from you. This to me, we've got our legal team looking at to see if the inner workings of it would allow some kind of legal action yet, but I just want everybody to know this is the current bulletin put out. This is not like something they're saying we're waiting for input on.
My final thought on this is a scary one. When I read this today, I thought I was sitting in Germany in 1932. The proliferation of false and misleading narratives which sowed discord or public trust in the German institutions, it could easily have said. Malign foreign powers that amplify false narratives and damage to the Reich, it could have said. You could substitute 2022 for 1932. This is scary. This is terrible. It is fascist in nature, and it's got to be fought, and that's what the ACLJ is going to do.
And the reason it didn't get the attention it deserved earlier in the week is because they used a congresswoman's misspeaking on one interview and focused on that, making fun of her, instead of actually looking at the actual policy put out by the DHS. We're on it, folks. The ACLJ. Support our work financially at ACLJ.org. We actually do something on these issues.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.